You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hello and welcome to Security Unlocked, a new podcast from Microsoft where we unlock insights from the latest in news and research from across Microsoft's security engineering and operations teams. I'm Nick Fillingham.
And I'm Natalia Gadilla. In each episode, we'll discuss the latest stories from Microsoft security, deep dive into the newest threat intel, research, and data science,
and profile some of the fascinating people working on artificial intelligence in Microsoft security.
And now, let's unlock the pod. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Security Unlocked. And hello, Nick. How are you doing today?
Hello, Natalia. I'm doing very well, thanks. I'm very excited for today's episode because, you know, for the past, 18 months-ish, however long we've been working from home, I've been almost always in workout gear. And my workout gear is predominantly by a company called Lululemon. Very nice, comfortable stuff. And the reason I'm saying this is that I actually have a very sort of legitimate reason to be standing here in front of you in my Lululemon workout gear, which is?
Well, today we have another takeover episode, so you won't be hearing from us. You'll be hearing another episode of Security Unlocked CISO series with Brett Arsenault. And today Brett is chatting with the SVP of Global Technology Services at Lululemon, Venki Krishnababu.
Yeah, this is a great episode 2 of this new series. For those of you listening to the Security Unlocked podcast 2 episodes ago, we dropped the very first episode of this new series with Mark Rusinovich. We got a great response from folks, so we thought let's drop another episode. This is episode number 2 of that new series. And today Brett speaks with not an internal Microsoft leader, but an external to us here at Microsoft, customer CISO equivalent in Venki Krishnababu from Lululemon. It's a fantastic conversation. I learned a lot about how Lululemon is very much a technology company. And Brett talks to Venki about Venki's career, how he's helped steer Lululemon's technology strategy through the pandemic and what their learnings have been over the past year and how that's sort of going to influence their security strategy in the future. Fantastic conversation and very much a really strong episode 2 for this series. So highly recommend that in addition to being subscribers of Security Unlocked, you become a new subscriber of Security Unlocked CISO series with Brett Arsenault, which you can find at securityunlockedcisoseries.com. And CISO is spelled C-I-S-O, so securityunlockedcisoseries.com.
Yes, and this is going to be the last time that we share one of these episodes in our feed. So as Nick said, if you are interested in this new series, go ahead to that link and subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes, which will be dropping every other Wednesday.
And with that, on with the pod.
On with the pod.
Today I have a special guest joining me, Venki Krishnababu. Venki is the Senior Vice President of Global Technology Services at Lululemon, the athletic apparel company based in Vancouver, BC. Venki is a transformational, business-savvy tech leader with extensive global technology experience. He's been at Lululemon for 3 years and was previously the CTO of Primera Blue Cross, where his leadership was pivotal to their digital transformation. Before that, he was at Nordstrom for 17 years, where he led the company's service-based architecture strategy. And also, for those who don't know, it's been over a year. Venki lives in my neighborhood, and yet we are doing things remotely still. We haven't had a chance to meet in person, so I hope soon we can actually meet in person.
Yeah, likewise, Brett. I'm definitely looking forward to meet you as well. It's such a great neighborhood. And thank you for having me in your first podcast. I never see that as a risk at all because I know you, Brett. So glad to be here and join and learn and share.
No, I appreciate it. I think today would be great is to discuss some of the biggest lessons learned from the pandemic in terms of having to send employees home overnight to remote working, not being employed. And it's just an amazing time. I think a lot of people talked about it, but understanding what it means for you at Lululemon as the senior leader you are, and then to how other people can learn from that. I think, for me personally, someone recently said, I'm working from my home office, which I believe you may be doing today. And I realized I was blessed enough, one, to have a home, and two, that if I have an office, that means I have a job. And I know that's not true for everybody during these times. So I'm not confused by how fortunate we are. But I would think it'd be a great session for us to have a conversation on how we're making these things work for our respective companies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I share the same sentiment, Brett. Very grateful to have a home and have an office and have a family under one roof, and very, very blessed to be here and be part of this podcast.
That'd be great. Before we get into the topic, though, maybe you could give me a little bit about how you got into the tech industry and a little bit about your career path, because I think it's a pretty interesting background.
Yeah, sure, Brett. It's been, I'm coming at the cusp of around 27 plus years in technology. Predominantly, it's all about enabling retail business with strong engineering and technology teams. I started out as a hardcore database engineer. That's where I started, and worked in different roles in almost two decades at Nordstrom, different type of roles, architecture, engineering leadership, production support, operations, contact center, Omni, all kinds of, you know, experience, all stemmed up to one thing, which I'm very passionate about, which is leading and supporting people and delivering some great values for retail business and enabling them. And that's been my entry into technology. And I love technology. I love people, working with people and creating some great stuff together.
It's a truly diverse background in all the different roles that you've had. So I think you're exceptionally qualified for the conversation today, which was, even with 27 years of experience, I don't think any of us predicted the situation. Even when I was tabletopping pandemic exercise, I didn't see it the way this happened out. But I think as people come back to work, it's one thing to think about sending people home. But as we start, you know, working on people coming back and how we do productivity, how do you think about companies truly embracing this hybrid work environment? And what does that look like for Lululemon in the retail industry?
Yeah, you know, such an interesting time as we live in, Brett. As you said, no one was ready to prepare to face this global pandemic, and it hit us so fast. It came like a flash on us. And since pandemic, many companies have pivoted and successfully shifted their business to digital, work from remote. One thing pandemic has done is demystified this work from home. And it's also kind of gave an ultimatum kind of for us, set the ultimatum for leaders like us, which is remote work or no work. I mean, right. That's the kind of the ultimatum. So frankly speaking, Brett, to answer your question about the hybrid, mileage, you know, varies. It depends from one company to another company. And we are in the early stages of exploring hybrid environment. And we also leaning in and learning from our peers, and especially technology industry like yours, Brett, Microsoft, and other top technology companies are kind of in the forefront, trailblazing it. We're also learning and watching the industry. To me, it's we are, as I said, in the early stages. I'm a strong believer of test, learn, let the data and the experience drive the decisions and how this hybrid work is going to set. But we are definitely exploring a hybrid work environment.
That's amazing. And you're obviously a unique company in that you're a tech company, you do retail, you have manufacturing, and then this, you know, with the recent acquisition of the Mirror product, you also have a hardware line. So as I think about it, you know, I'd be curious, I think this is a practitioner's forum. So what would be, in your mind, the biggest lesson you learned in this past year during the pandemic? Like, you know, what would you do again and what would you do differently? If we could focus on those two areas, it'd be super helpful for probably me and our listeners.
Yeah. Oh boy. Talk about lessons. There are many. We as leaders and humans, I truly believe I am a student forever and we are continuous learners. And that's the mindset I come in every day. And this pandemic has taught us a lot of stuff. And one thing which stood out for me, besides technology, besides, you know, creating a scale of remote shift and all this stuff, one thing really, really stood out for me, which is people and how resilient and the adaption and adoption of to this new way of working, shifting, and doing that in less than 3-4 weeks. To be honest, I was humbled at the same time, incredibly impressed and thankful to the entire, you know, team here, rallied. And within 3 weeks, we are, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, our entire corporate functions, we call it as SSC, which is Store Support Center. Mm-hmm. Everything we do, it revolves around our guests and stores. We call it as our corporate headquarters, our store support centers. So what we did is we shifted our entire, almost 2,000 plus workforce corporate functions completely remote work. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg, right? Mm-hmm. So then if you take the next step, you know, as we go through the pandemic, like March, April, pretty much the entire economy or if entire market, everything was shut down. I mean, we have to close our stores. So then what happened? Business shifted. So we started to go full on digital. And as a result, if you look at our contact center, we call it as the Guest Education Center, GEC. We used to have almost 400 folks concentrated in one full building to serve our guests. This is the guest first in our contact line, right? If anything wrong with the order, or if they need any help, or even for something they want to buy, apply gifts, if many functions and services GEC performs, we shifted them to work from remote, the entire GEC workforce. And that happened in less than 4 to 5 weeks. And these are all things, like you said, right? We are not prepared. There's no step-by-step playbook. If a global pandemic hits, exactly, these are the things you have to do. What we did is having a resilient team, and all leaders and the team putting their heads together had one goal in mind. How do we enable our people? How do we serve our guests in the best possible way? And business continuity. We keeping these three as priority, we made several decisions and we implemented several technologies and we enable this remote workforce. So that's what I would say the biggest learning for me is the resiliency. And when committed people put their heads together and how they evolve out of a crisis is mesmerizing for me to watch and share. Very, very fortunate to be part of that journey. That's the first thing I would say in like a macro level for me. Learning is about how did we adapt and adopt. And then the secondary set of learnings, right? There are technology. There are platforms. The demystifying of working from home. You know, we enable many collaboration tools. That also includes our teams. We full on teams, enterprise level. And on top of that, security. You know, once we go remote, we are no longer protected by the, you're kind of very core to that. You know, you're an expert in that area. Like we no longer protected by the perimeter of our SSC and all the securities out the window. Now we need to pivot. And how did we pivot? You know, ensuring that we have a large scale cloud centric scalable VPN platforms. VDI is another example. How did we enable our GEC workforce? So many companies have gone through several ways to enable their workforce and keep the business running and humming. One thing I can tell about the second part of the question you asked about is like, we are definitely much better prepared. My biggest wish is we don't want to go through this again. Yeah. Now, as the pandemic subsides, we got a lot of community learnings as well. Also social behavioral learning. Hopefully we learn and apply them so we don't have to go through that again. But in that case, for a forbidden reason, if we go there, I would say resiliency planning in my books is a never-ending process. It's always have to happen in continuum. So what we have learned, created playbook, whatever we have, we rely and lean on that and improvise further is what I would say I would do differently. Learn, apply, improvise, iterate, and make it even better.
No, that's great. I think to your point around people being resilient, we have to talk about resilient systems. But I think we've learned a lot about people resiliency and in particular, the impact on managers. For a minute on the tech side, I'm curious though, you did some pretty interesting things with RFID at Lululemon through COVID. I think that really helped. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah. So what we have done is we have rolled out our RFID platform, which is truly helpful in store operations, not only for store operations, all our omni fulfillment functions. So during pandemic, what we did is we were able to continue to provide, of course, with safety first and precaution, all the social distancing precaution, and we followed all the regulations and rules. What we did is we used those platforms to unlock many new capabilities to start with store fulfillment and ship from stores, be able to pivot and ship digital orders and fulfill e-com orders from stores is an example. And then as the pandemic, you know, start to somewhat subside, we start to slowly open the stores based on the capacity or on the guidelines of the local government there, right? So we unlocked many new capabilities in preparation to provide that great service to our educators in a socially distanced manner, at the same time in a safe manner. Some of the technology like curbside pickups and then virtual waitlist, which is, digital appointments, contactless payments, and the list goes on and on. It's because of some strong foundational platforms we put in place and which allowed us to create new many tech capabilities to help our educators. We call our sales associate as educators. So educator in store, empowering them with some powerful technology that enabled them to serve our guests, in-store guest in a much secured, socially distanced manner without compromising the service. So those are some technology unlocks we have done, and we the foundation which we put allowed us to do omni-fulfillment. The buy online pickup in store, buy online pickup at door is another one which we enabled, and gift hubs. During holiday seasons, we created less dense packed gift hubs, which is focused only on gifts. So it was quite a journey, and we did all that in like 3-4 months, like flash speed, I would say.
So here's my question then. Do you think that you used to go too slow?
Oh, wow. The thing is speed.
That was kind of mean, but I look at all this digital transformation. I even look at us and I'm like, why didn't I push on some of this harder sooner?
Now, what happened is it's everyone rallying towards the same thing, right? And all of a sudden you get this momentum and the flywheel effect. But you're right. The entire world, digital acceleration, which is supposed to be 5 to 10 years, happened within 1 year because pandemic forced us.
Yeah, no. And I think, in fairness, like it's sort of a teaser question, which was some of the things that you did wouldn't have worked had it not been for the pandemic, like people in the in-store experience and everything else. And one of the things I was curious about in that scenario, if we could, so you have the things you did as it happened and as you were into the middle of the pandemic. Now we have, as you said, more places coming online in different capacities. In this hybrid workforce, what's Lululemon thinking about the models going forward? Is it, you know, nobody's coming back or certain roles are coming back or it's 50-50 or what's your principled view on that?
The principled view on this is, as I mentioned earlier, Brett, we are in the early stages. We are definitely, you know, exploring our hybrid work environment. Our SSEs are still there, which is our corporate headquarters, or the tech hubs, or the hubs. We are a global company. We have SSEs across the globe. So what we are doing is definitely we're going in with the mindset of explore this hybrid environment and understand how this works for us, and then adjust as needed as we go, right? And this is where what I truly believe on, let the data and let the experience dictates how we evolve. The percentage of 50 here, 50 there is somewhat secondary. What primary is, there's no one size fit all approach for this. Some companies might go 100%. Some companies might say, hey, you ought to be 80% here and 20% there. So for us, we have not decided on percentage. Rather, we have more of a test and learn, explore, understand. And also, we also keenly leaning on other industries too. And this is where, Brett, I would love to hear from you also. Turn the question back to you, like how you are seeing it and hear from you as well.
Hey, now, you don't get to do that to the host. I think adapt and adapt, you know, model. That's a virtuous cycle that you have to think about. And I think that's a smart way to think about it. I think for me, I mean, there's always a balance view. And so the question is, there's companies in some industries are more prone and capable to be able to do this. But, you know, were you a full on-prem department and does the pendulum swing all the way to the right? Or is you, you know, it's how far do you swing that pendulum? And I think much like you, our view is, we certainly have seen that people have the capability to be productive remotely in many of the roles, and we will continue to embrace and support that. But we'll also use the data to make sure, like I look at the daily data on our productivity, on our collaboration capabilities, on the wellness of our employees. And if we start seeing it get out of whack, or frankly, if we see competitive pressures, we'll react to those as well. But for sure, the two things I would say we've been seeing is we've seen a new model that can work and be very effective, both for our employees and our vendors, and we'll continue to adopt more of that. And then we will continue to use, like you said, the data to let us know whether it's still working or if we've gone too far. And I think that's going to be super interesting. But I think the biggest issue, and I'd be curious your view on this, is how to help managers be effective in that model. Like the IC, the individual contributors, it's not so hard to go do, but the data has shown us the managers really bear the brunt of time zone changes of their workforce or, you know, trying to be more available, and they take a lot more of the hit. So how do we make sure that they don't have biases in that space or that we arm them to be super effective? And I know we've talked a little bit about that in the past. How are you thinking about that with, enabling your managers to be effective managers in this scenario?
I think it is important to ensure that we are providing the necessary support and the guidance for our leaders, right? I would start with first ensure that's proper logistics and infrastructure, which includes security is implicit, right?
Yes.
Part of that.
Sure.
So make sure that's there and be clear about what the policy, the why behind it, and be crystal clear about it. If you leave gray area, it's a slippery slope. So you got to be clear about that. And then followed by do not lose sight of culture. The culture is also important for any company, and it's very important. And continuous feedback, gathering and creating active, explicit listening sessions, understanding what's going on in the ground, and that deep listening is important. And then correction followed by the continuous feedback loop. In a technical term, we call the CI/CD loop, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
Same way, we need to have that continuous agile feedback loop to make micro corrections as opposed to waiting for something big to happen and making a macro corrections, which would be painful. And again, the second part would be leadership, leading people, leading teams, supporting them, even in a pre-pandemic time, and a global multinational workforce like us is never an easy task, right? We are highly distributed. We are a global multinational company. I have teams in global and different locations. So some level of careful and thoughtfulness is required even before this pandemic started. Now, with this pandemic in mind, we need to make sure inclusivity, equity, and all the stuff is part of, you know, being explicit about it is important. And last but not least, I would say definitely empathy, creating that empathy and leading with empathy and extra empathy at this time for our people is extremely important as we navigate through this pandemic.
Thank you. Let me come back to a comment you made about getting data and being empathetic. I think, you know, we refer to it as digital empathy. And I think these times have shown us that's super important. I'm not looking for an advertisement for Microsoft or any other company, but I am curious, like, what are some of the tools you're going to use to actually help people be productive in a hybrid workforce? And what are some of the tools you're going to use to really be able to, you know, collect that data that people could learn from on the call?
So another good question, Brett. There are some tools, and I personally also use it for my personal effectiveness. We use this O365 suite quite a bit, the My Analytics part, which tells me, okay, how much time I'm spending on meetings, how much think time I have, and who are my top collaborators. All those things are really intriguing to me. And I go into this deep introspection. Why did I do that, you know, last week for that long, right? So it allows me to understand, okay, how do I balance my time? And a lot of other folks within the company also use it. And I also use screen time for my mobile devices. And, you know, that's another way to look at it. I'm a big believer in data, but there's only one area I don't measure things with data. Brett, this is going to be somewhat related. And at the same time, why I believe technology, data analytics is going to help us provide insights and become efficient continuously. There's no question about that belief. But what I believe beyond that is, you know, we as leaders having the right team, right people, empowering them, creating the friction-free platform for them to collaborate. When we do all those things and keep an eye on those things, productivity becomes an automatic outcome of that. And so that's where I pay closest attention to the stress levels of the team. I when I'm in the meeting, I explicitly ask for, let's have the video. Let's have, especially one-on-one, we need to able to read the body language, understand how our people are responding. There's so many things you can pick up as human, which machines still not learned it yet. So it's a combination and balance between leadership, that human empathy and connection, followed by take advantage of this rich data and analytics and tools, which allows you to create more effectiveness and also make course corrections and adjustments.
Yeah, and I think it's a great comment. Even where data has shown us that, like I look at, you were mentioning workplace analytics, and I look at two-party calls and how much they've gone up, which is really, it's a replacement for the hallway conversation, that really subtle little thing. Like, hey, how did you do this? But now it requires a call. So you see those things go up. And I think, you know, having the ability to still do those is important. And then for me, sadly, I get the, hey, you sent this thing in off hours. I'm like, no, I didn't. I was in a different time zone, but I haven't been able to trick the system into that part yet.
Well, the technology, Brett, really helped me. This is my personal story I'm sharing. I'm a runner. I love to run. And what happened during this peak of this pandemic, I lost sight of that and meetings after meeting, back to back, back to back, back to back. And then I kind of look at it and then I use this work analytics data. Like, there is no breaks and I'm going like crazy. This is not sustainable. So what I did is took that data, worked with my personal assistant and ensured that incorporate, stitch deliberate breaks, that lunchtime is sacred time. Unless really, really some major emergency, that block is for me. and I'm going to go run. That really helped me to get that mental balance. So same, I encourage my team also to ensure that you have deliberate breaks. Look at, watch for data, watch for how the pattern changes. So definitely technology does help, and we also have to explicitly watch for it too.
Yeah, then that's a great example on the taking the lunch break. I think that's super important. One of the things that I think about in this scenario is just from a knowing you perspective, if I could, I have this sort of standard set of questions that I ask everybody. So do you mind if I run you through a couple of them?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What's a book you're currently reading, and what's a book you would recommend that people read?
Oh, wow. The book, this is by Brave Leadership by Brené Brown. It's really, really a good book on leadership. I really dig a lot of, you believe I, the number of leadership book versus technology book for me is like 60-40.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And then I'm also on the technology side. It's more of, Brett, you might notice this, this third party supply chain software, right? That I'm reading more on the industry, how that's, it's fast evolving industry and fascinating at the same time. So I'm reading about that. I definitely would recommend the Brené Brown's book if you're really a big fan of leadership and wanted to incorporate some big, there's some good leadership lessons also incorporated, which we all can learn and apply. And it's very practical.
No, that's great. And I love practical leadership books, right? I think that's probably one of the most important ones for me. That's super helpful. Thank you. I'd just like to think from a priority, you mentioned supply chain. It's obviously a growing risk area in terms of impact, amplitude, frequency, and time to exploitation. So what I'm wondering from you, you don't have to be on supply chain, but just the three things that people or practitioners on this phone should think about in order to make sure that they can secure their hybrid workforce. And then the one thing they should avoid. So three things they should do and one thing they should avoid from the perspective of you as the Senior Vice President of Technology at Lululemon.
Three things I would say is I always look in terms of three compartments of anything I do. One is starts with people. With people, making sure the awareness and education and how they're adapting. I'm taking it, in fact, your question a little bit more into macro level, Brett, about with this hybrid workforce, what are the three things we as leaders need to, you know, watch for and do, right? So working with our people, understanding how they are working with their teams, especially for leaders who are leading other leaders, it's extremely important to get that pulse. And then training, awareness, listening, all those things got to be incorporated from a people standpoint. And how do you ensure that the digital fatigue is not getting the best of you? And that's going to be the million-dollar question every day, every leader, when they wake up, need to answer. And what am I going to do today to reduce the digital fatigue? So that's one on people. Then on process, right? So if you look at process, there are many processes got naturally evolved, and some of them pandemic-driven. So we have launched the safe buildings, you know, and you come in, operational capacity matters, where do you sit matters, the social etiquette or social distancing matters. And some of them are technology driven, some of them are process driven. So process driven are you have to ensure that you're declaring when you're coming in, you know, setting some certain standards and workforce policies. And that's the process aspect of it. And how do you gain access is another example you have to go through, especially in being remote. The computer you're using, the device you're using with BYOD kind of exploding on one end. How do you ensure that then you onboard certain things or it's super clear, it's super secured, right? Very well secured. Those are the things from a process standpoint. From a technology standpoint, this is what I would say is every day we have to look at what platforms we'd use, what are the things we need to bring in. I gave examples last time, Brett, that enablement of GEC workforce with Azure VDI is a big unlock.
Yeah.
There is this balance between empowering and also securing, protecting our employees and our workforce. And there are tools which allows you to solve those, right? And then you working on those technology, evolving technology, you know, and also meeting with the industry experts and learning from them and incorporating them. So technology is the one fast moving part of these three components. So how do you keep pace with that? So keeping pace with it. One thing I would avoid is this is an ultra marathon. Take pit stops and ensure that you're taking care of yourself too. Don't get enough fatigue. As I said, don't let fatigue get the best of you, because once, if your health is not good, you're done. So you can't think, you can't make the right decisions, but it's so important for everyone, especially for leaders too. Find the way to de-stress yourself. And either it's running for me, yoga for someone. Who knows? You know, it depends on each one. So that's what I would avoid. Avoid that fatigueness and watch for that stress signals carefully.
Yeah, I totally agree and understand the different points you're bringing up. But I like the people, the process, and then the technology piece. And I think this avoidance thing, I think people have become far more mindful. I hope it sustains post any pandemic situations. Because I think, like I said, the only thing you know you can take into retirement or anything else you ever do is your health. So I think that's a really good way to think about it. Is there anything else you want to add, Venky, that just free form that you'd like to add or things you'd want to portray as a message?
Yeah, I mean, this is more of an opportunity for me to share. We here at Lululemon, we are, I would say, is in a great spot of innovating. We are a vertical product brand, and we are omni-channel and multinational global company, and technology is kind of in the score and center of enabling. And we are doing some innovative work in terms of new technologies, new platforms, either it's RFID or it's blockchain, or it's data mesh in Azure Data Analytics, Azure Databricks, or, I mean, we are doing several technologies, building some great stuff and doing some wonderful work in the cloud. So we are hiring. So would love for folks to, you know, look at us more of an innovative technology as a company as well, in addition to being a vertical brand.
That's a great way to close it out, because I think it's one of the things is for people to get to know the company. And I think people could think of you as a retailer or an apparel company, when the reality is you're so much more in the terms of you're digitally transformed, you're doing even hardware work, and the way you think of the accretive value of how you pull together data, customer experience, and all the other work. It's a testament to a great business and how every company today is both a technology company and more.
Yeah. Thank you, Brett.
Thanks so much.
Well, we had a great time unlocking insights into security, from research to artificial intelligence. Keep an eye out for our next episode.
And don't forget to tweet us at MSFTSecurity or email us at securityunlocked@microsoft.com with topics you'd like to hear on a future episode. Until then, stay safe.
Stay secure.